Yeah, we don't always do everything the same way every Sunday. I jokingly many a time say, Lord, have your way, and we pray all of this nice prayers of God bringing his freedom and doing it the way he wants to do it, and then when he does it, sometimes we get a bit of a fright. But I think, may God keep on breaking our boxes. May he just keep on. As soon as we think, we've tasted freedom in Christ, we've tasted biblical, spirit-filled freedom, may God just keep on bending our rules and breaking our boxes. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And it's not the way the world knows it. It's the way that God ordained it. It's an awesome freedom, but it's a freedom within love. It's a freedom within discipline. It's a freedom within the constraints of the Word. But it's a freedom that satisfies, and I believe, as Umyuan said, it's a freedom that brings true contentment in our hearts. He made us, so he knows what we can handle and what not. So I'm just, it's just a privilege to be part of what God is doing. Umyuan actually, I believe, gave you the whole sermon for the day, so we can actually go home. But it is my job, so I probably need to do this. But it's more or less along the lines of what Umyuan shared. And I love the fact that he just came and he testified about what true contentment is. There we are. Thank you, Umyuan. That was really a blessing. As I usually do, well, let's maybe first stand still here. I just want to give thanks to a Google search, or I think, in fact, this was a, what's that thing the ladies do? Pinterest. It's a Pinterest photo, so I just want to give credit to whoever took that photo that Edna gave me and I copied, but thank you very much for that. But today is just along the lines of what Umyuan shared, but I believe it's just a tongue-in-cheek, so please don't take me too seriously, but take the Word very seriously. Take the Word of God seriously, but the things and the analogies that I do use, do take it a bit tongue-in-cheek. I don't want anybody to walk out of here condemned or heavy, but yet I believe there's some finer things that we need to look at for the season that we're going in. In other words, the holiday season. So that's hence the title there, Holiday by the Sea. Now, it's not very difficult to think what that sea can stand for, but I'll leave that to you guys, all of you smart brain surgeons, to figure out. It's really not that difficult. But today I'm just quickly going to share about true holiday, a bit about true rest, and just the things that we're going to confront, or we get confronted in the next couple of weeks in the holiday season. Who of you guys are really looking forward to holiday? Awesome. Awesome. Maybe just to make sure that we're all awake, give me one or two words, just key words, of what holiday means for you, or the way that you practice it or enjoy it. Is there any words that come to mind? Relax. I like that. Rest. Fishing for Jesus, Nathan. Where? Anafisa. Excuse.
What, sorry, Jan?
Music. Worship music. No. Sorry. I think this is a very pastoral sermon today, so you have to excuse me. Well, there's a couple of things that comes to mind, and there's four or so elements that I just took out of our cultural idea of holiday that I just so perfectly positioned there. I thought I never actually use props, but I thought this time of the year, to keep everybody awake and just to keep them sharp and to get you guys to remember what I said when you're sitting on the beach drinking a pina colada or a very long beer, I thought of maybe spoiling it for you and just bringing some props today. So hopefully, once you open up that cool bag on the beach or wherever you go, that you'll remember what God laid on your heart. And just a note, because I know we're in a world where not everybody is entitled to or have the privilege to enjoy certain ways of holidays or not. So please, I believe this sermon is not for only for those people that can afford to go on holiday, or for those people that actually have days of leave that they can take off at work. I believe this word is for everybody. So if you're not going on holiday, don't switch off. Please stay tuned in and listen what God lays on your heart. I like to have a look at what we've discussed this last couple of weeks. We had a look at yoking with Christ, and today we'll quickly touch on that again. I believe it's very important for all of us. So yoking with Christ is quite important. And then the week thereafter, I discussed the God of the unlikely. Do you remember the day we said goodbye to Shadrach? We spoke about the God of the unlikely. And then last week, Edna shared about true worship. Now, just a quick ad break. Francisco, ek wil nie sê jy moet stil sit nie. Ek wil net sê baie dankie. Thank you very much, Francisco. He edited and uploaded all of our sermons of the last 3 or 4 months. So everything is up on there, including last week's service and sermon. So if you missed what Edna shared on last week, please go and download that in your spare time and have a listen or two, because I truly believe that is something that God wants us to do, not only now, but going into next year. I believe it's a very important word. She chatted about true worship. You can go to the next slide. Thanks. And said that it's a heart's condition towards God. It's not a mere song. It's not merely only what we did this morning. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is the way you conduct yourself. Worship is, in fact, the way, like Amyhan shared this morning, the way in which you use the finances and the resources that God's given you. It can be a lot of stuff, but I loved what she said, and that's maybe where I'm going to get stuck and move off from. It's a heart's condition towards God. Now, we're going into a season where I think we might get tested on this. How do you place your heart, or how do you condition your heart towards God in a standard Christmas season like we're going into? I don't know about you, but do you ever get tested in this time of going out, going on holiday, spending a lot of time, money, and effort on people, and sometimes yourself? Do you ever get challenged by conditioning your heart towards God in that time? I'm just talking off the cuff, and it has been that case for me. I've been privileged enough, especially marrying with Edna, going on nice holidays and going to nice destinations many a times, and enjoying really a spoilt holiday lifestyle more often than not. But yet, many a times I got confronted with this question and challenged by, where's my heart's condition in this time? How do I condition my heart? How do I set my heart towards God in that time? Edna shared this last day as an intro. It's not up there, but she said, shared out of Matthew 15, verse 8, "People honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That's a bit of a hard one. This is Jesus' words. Now, Christmas and Christmas time is all about Jesus and the fact that he was born and he came to earth. And you know the story. We're not going to share too much about that today. But I don't know. In this season, they put up Christmas trimmings and stuff from October month in the shops. And I think something that we need to be careful of is that people honor Christ, honor him, honor God with their lips maybe, and with their actions, and with the tree, and with this and with that, but their hearts might be far from him. It's certainly a test for me, so that's only why I'm sharing it. I'm not talking at anybody, but I'm talking with you guys. Let's be careful of this thing of our lips saying one thing, but our hearts being far from that. Because I believe it's a challenge, a spiritual challenge in this time. Just as another disclaimer, I'm not talking against Christmas. If anybody is hearing that, that's not. I'm not talking about against holiday. In fact, as Tanya Rihanna rightly said, we're going on holiday for a week or so. I'm really looking forward to it. So please hear my heart. I'm really looking forward to it. But I'm just thinking beforehand that I need to be careful when I go on holiday of where my heart's going to be. So I'm not talking against anything, but I'm actually talking for something, and that is holiday by the sea, true holiday in Christ. I put up a definition there just for the teachers in the house of holiday. A day free from work that one may spend at leisure. Klink het lekker. Moenie religious wees, dit klink lekker. Dit klink baie lekker. A day free from work that one spend at leisure. A halting of general business activity to commemorate or celebrate a particular event, a religious feast day, a holy day. Holy day, holiday, holy day. That's quite an interesting fact. We're not going to base our whole truth on the definition of holiday, so don't worry about it. But it is funny to look at it. Funny. Hagios, or the Greek word sacred or holy, means the following. Set apart, holy, sacred. Just quickly, close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. If I say Christmas holiday, a picture comes up. Just by definition in your mind, you see a table full of food, or you see Christmas trees, or you see a credit card maxed out, or sometimes people see sorrow, or they see loneliness. There's a picture that comes up when you think holiday. Now let's look at the definition. Set apart by or for God, holy and sacred. So traditionally, holy day or holiday had a very different meaning to what might pop up in our heads now. Different, unlike other, otherness, holy means likeness of nature with the Lord. Dink gou hard in bos, likeness of the Lord. I don't know if anybody, I love Hartenbos, awesome plek. But we've been to Azefontein the last couple of years, or many a years in fact, and if I think holiday at Azefontein, I think people in the Caravan Park and at the cafe and the Drankwinkel and Oorals and Braaiing and stuff. I don't necessarily think likeness of nature with the Lord. And then lastly, because different from the world. That's a bit of a stinger. Like Johan said this morning, different than the world. So originally, by definition, holiday or holy day had a weird definition if you look at what we do today, or many people do today. And last time I shared something on a similar topic, I got an awesome scripture. And it's nice to have an idea and then to get a scripture to back it. And again, I'm walking on eggs, and why am I saying that? I'm talking to friends and family that's had a long year, that's really looking forward to a bit of rest, looking forward to holiday, and I'm saying stuff that might just not be that good to hear. So that's why I've got a couple of disclaimers, just to know that I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, but that you guys come back next year. Ecclesiastes, it's not on there. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 24 to 25. There is nothing better for a person. This is out of the Word of God. Just for those of you that think you must fast for 40 days any vakansie. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. In other words, in sy arbeid, in sy werk, in what he's done. This also I saw is from the hand of God. Van julle gaan nou, shoo, dankie toch. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? So there's nothing wrong, I'm not going to say pina colada, but there's nothing wrong with having your tab and your salad on the beach. Alright, so that's just the last disclaimer. Now we've set the stage, you guys know my heart, why I share it, but let's just ask the Lord to kill some lies. Before I go into my four elements, and we won't be long today, let's quickly pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that I know that this is on your heart, Lord, because you love us. Thank you, Father God. I just come against the lie that you're killjoy. Father God, you like killing the joy of the flesh that leads to destruction and that which leads to death. And I pray that you will do that today, Father God. And thank you through your Spirit that you bring conviction in each of our hearts, Lord. That we don't come back next year, Father God, all messed up and moch and tired because we've not met with you, because we've not found true rest, because we've not had holiday in you, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for revelation this morning for me and for everyone, Lord. Because the law, the new covenant, the law you write on our hearts, Lord. And it's different for each and every one of us, Lord. So we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for revelation, and that you will just give us the tools in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. I think holiday and holiday time and Christmas time, it looks amazing with the eyes. It really looks nice. It's a time of refreshment. You get into your car. All the Transvaalers is down here in Cape Town. They're parking off. They're driving in an interesting manner. They take up all the space in Tiger Valley in the parking lot. And it is a nice, fun time in the physical realm. But have you ever thought of how it looks in the spirit realm? What's the interaction? What's the actions taking place in the spirit realm? Remember, God is spirit. We're also spirit. Wherever you're going, wherever you're going to spend a bit of time of leisure, or even if you stay at home, just think for a moment. I don't have the answer. I think I do, but I'm not going to share that necessarily. I think it's a test for all of us, and we're all maturing in Christ. What is happening in the spiritual atmosphere in this time? What is the battles taking place? What is the battles around hearts, families, unity, and around the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ? I'm not going to give the answer because I don't have the full revelation of that, I believe. But I do think it's something to think about as we rightly are believers of Christ. I like what Wim Johan prayed this morning in intercession. And he mentioned the word peace. That in this last couple of Sundays, that God will really bring his peace. And I experienced that this morning in worship. Really, God's peace. But it's also something that I really hunger for in this stage of the year. And peace, I believe, is one of the keystones that we need to look at. I called it rest up there. You can go to the next slide if you don't mind. Thank you. Rest. We're going to look at just four elements of a holiday. And hopefully we'll remember that and God will give us revelation. Now, the first one is rest. Symbolically, I've got an umbrella. Ta-da! Amazing, eh? And I've got a towel. I didn't have one of those lekker kampstoele, so I had to bring a towel and an umbrella. This just represents the way many of us choose to rest. Now, luckily for me, my wife, she loves the sea, but she's not that fond of sea sand. So we'll go to the beach if there's a bit of grass. I'm also not too fond of that. Yet, many people in this time flock to the beach, or they flock to wherever they go, to go and have a bit of rest. But let's look at the word and what God says about rest. Genesis 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So again, it's not a disclaimer, it's just something out of the scripture. God also took a break. He worked, he toiled hard, he sat back and he relaxed, he had a Sabbath rest. And that was obviously a forerunner, a picture of what God had in store for us. Now, I've got the definition down here of Sabbath, but I'm not going to go in too much depth in that. But let's look at Mark, later on in the Gospels, obviously the time of Christ, and look what he says in Mark 2, verse 27. And he said unto them, obviously this was where the Pharisees and all the learned men and colleagues of the Torah, of God, were obviously persecuting Jesus for the stuff that he has been doing. And a couple of times that happened, and we can go revisit that at another time, where they attacked him of the way in which he conducted his business or did things or even healed people on the Sabbath. And his answer to them was short and sweet. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. It's godly that we need to take a bit of a break, but he said it wasn't merely to tick a box or a religious act to be still on a, as we traditionally use it on a Sunday, but or on a Saturday, take one day out and religiously do that to make God happy. No, he says, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Let me ask it maybe put it in a simple way. Frida is 4 years old. Frida is my daughter. She's 4 years old. Was Frida created for, and also with middag slaapies. Verstaan allemaal wat de middag slaapies? That is the afternoon nap. Chan, it's an afternoon nap. So, was Frida made for the middag slaapie? Was Frida made for the nap? Or was the nap there, or is the nap there for Frida? Very simple question. But yet, what's the rest? What, were we made for the Sabbath? Or the Sabbath made for us? And there's this fine thing in there that I believe is very important, is that if God tells us rest, or come to me and rest, or Jesus Christ is rest, it's not to be funny. It's not to take away any joy or enjoyment of life. It is actually for our better. We know that our house is a bit chaotic when Frida needs a middag slaapie or a nap, an afternoon nap, and she does not take that. Things just, the wheels just come off spectacularly if she does not adhere to that. Likewise, I believe is we, as followers of Christ, do not enter that Sabbath rest, something God created and ordained for us. If we don't enter that Sabbath rest, the wheels can come off spectacularly. I posed this question a couple of weeks back in Cape Town, and I'm just going to pose it again. But if it's today is Sunday, tomorrow is Monday, those of you that are not on holiday, have you ever experienced the place where you get on a Monday morning, you open up your eyes and you think, man, I need a weekend. Anybody had that feeling? Okay. Has any of you been on an awesome holiday for a couple of weeks, been away for Christmas, been to your Plettenberg Bay or Hermanus or Hartenbosch or Eiserfontein or Stanford or wherever you go, or just around the block or just visiting friends for a couple of weeks and came back after a holiday and thought for yourself, man, I can do with a holiday right now. Anybody? Great. Thank you, Abby. At least two of you. Why am I saying that? It's just true rest is not necessarily in a stock standard worldly holiday. We need to remind ourselves of what the Word says, the guidance in which God gives us. Because believe you me, I can have deep pockets. In other words, I can have a lot of money. I can in fact have the richest person in the area's credit card to my disposal, and I can have a couple of weeks away on an idyllic island in a perfect setting, but I can come back as dry as a bone, spiritually and emotionally. I can go to Hartenbosch met die lekkerste gypsy caravan, die mooiste bakkie, Ali vleis, Ali braai, al die Afrikaner dinge wat van ons dalk al gedoen het. And you can come back dry and empty and quite far from the Lord and quite far from rest. Element of holiday is rest and shelter. I don't have it up there, but I believe it's worth looking at the scripture just quickly again. Remember, we're saying holiday by the sea. Holiday found in Christ. Holiday, true rest in the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're not saying you guys should stay at home, you should all fast, put off the TV, don't go out, moenie gaan koop nie. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying, well, I'm saying, and I believe God is saying, is that remember where true rest lies. Matthew 11, verse 28, it's not up there, but we dealt with it 3 weeks ago. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Again, Lord of the Sabbath is saying this to us. Julle, dis December, maar kom nog steeds na my toe. Come to me. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me. Jesus is saying to you, you want to be my disciple? Ask me about holiday. Jesus, how would you do holiday? No, but God, you, surely, man, you, I did set up the whole year, Lord, and I served in church. I went to church three Sundays out of four, Lord. I led this, I led that. can I just have this month for myself? It might be a legitimate question, but please just go check with your rabbi. Go check with Christ, the one that we're following. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. You will find rest for yourselves. He's not called Mauritius. He's called Jesus. Nothing. If anybody's going to Mauritius, enjoy. But take him with. There's not a pause button. Unfortunately, guys, in this battle, and that's maybe the crux, that's maybe the heart. There's unfortunately in the battle that we're facing, in the battle that we have as Christians, to stay upright, to stay connected with the Lord, to live out our callings, unfortunately, there's not a pause button. He will grant you rest. In fact, myself and Edna, you can come and listen to our testimonies. God has blessed us far beyond what we deserve, even in a worldly sense, in many aspects. But I have learned this, and I am learning it, not the finished product, but delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will grant you the desires of your heart. If He wants to take you to Mauritius, no money, no budget will keep you away from Mauritius, but then you'll go with Him. You can have all the money in the world and go to Mauritius, and you can come back dry, empty, and feeling not rested up at all. Anyway, before I get onto that tangent too far, let's finish the scripture. Because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourself. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So rest, pretty obvious. Where are you going to lay down your towel? Where are you going to plant your umbrella? And will it be with Christ? Are you yoking with Him? Are you reminding yourself that the Sabbath, that He is the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was not created as a religious thing to adhere to and say, I am not shopping, I'm not driving, I'm not blinking my eyes because then God's going to love me. No, it was there so that you can find rest in your Maker. Second point, second element or second key is destination. If you're privileged enough to literally go away, what is the destination? What is the destination of a holiday for you? We're going to go away for 2 weeks. And this was, in fact, planned long before, probably around about June or so this year. But the moment the opportunity came, I took it to the Lord. And I said, Lord, obviously my flesh wants to go. This is cool. We'll be going with my parents-in-law. And I'm like, Lord, I really want to do this, but what are you saying? And in prayer and accountability, God said, yes, this is His heart. So the physical destination, I just went and I double-checked that with the Lord. That might, for some people, that might sound weird or just a bit religious, but that's the law in my heart. I've noticed that God is my Abba Father. He's my Father. I see myself as a boy of the Lord, as a young boy of the Lord, and I've learned that if I don't go and check, I might just go and come back either empty, go without God's sovereign protection, because I might be doing stuff that is not His heart. So I went June to check what is going to happen in December. And God said to me, yes, that's cool. I have been to certain destinations, as I've shared before. And please hear the heart. It's not about great grand holidays and destinations. That's not the heart. It's about the destination of God's will and His presence. And we've been in awesome places before. One quick testimony is, and for those of you that, is there any vegetarians here? Praise God. That's why I really love our church. No, I'm just joking. Please, let's edit that out. I just want to check if anybody is against hunting. I'm not big on slaughtering animals, but I do like an occasional hunt. Why? I've got a fond memory of my father and I going for hunts when I was a young boy. My father passed away. So I had this massive desire for a couple of years that I really would like to go hunting again. Long story short, it was very little about the hunting and the hunting exercise of the killing of animals and eating. Well, the eating biltong is probably quite quite big on the list. But the rest was, I realized only later on, was a lot of heimweer, as they say in Afrikaans. It was a lot of emotion connected to the experience I had with my earthly father. That's just, by the way, just a little bit of me. So for a couple of years, I had this burning desire. I would love to go hunt again. But as you know, and I've shared our testimony in Malmesbury, hunting is quite an expensive exercise. So I just realized that's an absolute no-go. One evening, now we've been 2 years, 2.5 years without income. So hunting is the last thing on my brain. One evening, I was spending time with God. And in my spirit, God just shows me a vision. In other words, in my... What is verbeelding? Waar is my imaginations? I do apologize. Somebody, the Engelse mense met my hanoble, not it. In my imagination, just pops up a picture of a hunting rifle. And immediately in my spirit, in my heart, I knew God was prodding on something that was near to my heart. So for a couple of years, I've been carrying this unction or this want or this desire to go hunting again because I had this awesome experience and God just showed that picture to me and I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? With respect. God, what is this? I can feel in my spirit you're saying something, but there's no money, there's no way. And I just put the picture aside. A week later, a very good friend of mine phones me up and he says, "Jy sal nie glo nie." But my brother got some contract. We need to go, they need to go help out a farmer up in Calvinia. They need to shoot out a certain amount of wealth. And you can come with. We're going to stay at my parents' place. He knows our finances. He's also one of my accountability partners. So he knows that I don't have the money to go on a hunting trip. And he says, everything's been paid for. You just get into the car. All that you need to buy is a packet of bullets for your rifle. And I'm like, Lord, how amazing is that? And God just takes me on this hunting expedition. Now, for you, it might sound weird, but there was something that really stuck close to my heart because it's a very intimate thing that nobody knew about, but God knew about. I'm getting back to destination. Now, I'm on destination hunting exercise of jachtrip, and I'm so blessed. But in this whole couple of days in the veld, it's really nice, it's great, and it's godly men, so it's not a bizarre partying, weird vibe. It's really mostly godly men spending quality time, and I actually shot this 2 springbok, but it still didn't hit the mark. It still didn't, that contentment, that place that was yearning for didn't happen. And I was like, Lord, what is this? But in being in the veld and being on this trip, I didn't have much time to spend with God. One day it was my turn to take the bucky and wait at a certain place where we just dropped some of the wild off, and then I had to wait for about an hour for the guys to come pick me up and take me back into the veld. I stopped there. I didn't have much to do. I had worship on my cell phone. I put that on. I took out my Bible. I wish I can explain. I wish I could put handles on that hour for you. God, it was just like God opened the bucky's door and he just got in. And it was just the most awesome hour ever. It was just spending time in the Word, just spending time in God's presence, just listening to worship, just worshiping God, just turning my affection towards Him. And I was filled up and I was content like you cannot believe. Why am I telling this long story about shooting animals? It was not being in the veld. Although it's nice. It was not using the rifle that I inherited from my father, which is a nice Afrikaans thing to do. It was not even thinking of the biltong that I'm going to have. It was not spending the awesome time with fellow believers in the veld, being able to be blessed, given the provision, etc., etc. What really hit the mark of that whole trip was that hour I spent in the veld in a bucky with God. God just came and He just whacked me there where I needed it. He just filled up that void inside of my heart. What is the destination that we're going to? What is the destination? And I'd like to call that destination rest once again. You can go any nice place and God will meet you there. You can go on your hunting trip, or You can go to the Maldives if you've had that in your heart, and it can be awesome. But if you do that with God, it will surely be the best. Last thing I would like to say about destination is make sure we go there by faith. Whatever the destination is, go there by faith. I could go on this hunting expedition by faith because I knew God had prepared the way. The best time was in His presence on that trip. But what has God laid on your heart? If you're staying home, awesome. But also ask God, God, is it your will that I stay home? Just quickly, the flip side of that. Sometimes a poverty lie might come in and say, well, you don't have the money, you don't have the means, you have to stay home. Or you don't deserve or whatever. Even lift that up to God and say, God, what do you want? Because in moving with Him, in Him choosing the destination, it will be blessed. Hebrews 3, it might sound weird, but I love the scripture and I have shared it before. God called, and it's referring back to Israel, who hardened their hearts when God spoke to them, when God called them out into the wilderness, when God said certain things to them. Each time they had this choice of hardening their heart or bowing their knee. And many a times they did unfortunately harden their hearts, and you know the story. And God then, through Hebrews 3, please go and read it. We don't have time to go through the whole thing now. But each time God said, they did not enter my rest. They could not enter my rest. What is God saying to you? God might be saying, but Yiviratani, you know that auntie of you, you better invite her. And you're like, no, Lord. You can't expect me to invite that auntie. I can't have Christmas with her. I can't, Lord, if I have to take another bite of her trifle, Lord, I'll surely die. I can't do it, Lord. But God might be, I'm jokingly, but I think there's a couple of stories like that here. That's why I'm sharing it. But God might be saying, do it for me. Invite your auntie, stuck it out, eat her trifle for the kingdom of God. But no, sometimes we harden our hearts and we don't enter His rest. Just the last part of Hebrews 3. I'm going to get there. You guys are quite quick. Thank you. For who heard and rebelled? Wasn't it really all who came out of Egypt under Moses? And who was he provoked with for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And who did he swear to that they would not enter His rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Faith, and we're going to say this many a times again because I believe we all can grow in faith, but faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. If I am doing what I'm doing for holiday in faith because God has shown it to me, there's a much bigger freedom in that than making my own plans. And if God then lays something in my heart and I'm disobedient towards Him, I cannot expect my holiday plans necessarily to be blessed or to find that rest. That's the long and the short of destination. Let's look at provision. And Umyan just shared it so awesomely this morning. I've got an empty wallet. An empty wallet here. And I think that, I don't know if that's sometimes the case for some people in January. And I've got a card. This is an old debit card, but let's pretend it's a credit card. But there's something that, and we might be saying this is tongue-in-cheek, we joke about it, but this is stuff that really rules people's lives and rule the season without us knowing it. Sometimes with us knowing it, but we're just thinking, Lord, but what else? And let's just trust Him for some revelation. Let's just trust Him for some more freedom. Isaiah 55, come everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And you without money, yay met the plat sak. Come and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Now obviously this is a spiritual picture, it's not literally, but this is the God we serve. He says, come in the spirit and come buy from me. And I believe as we take that in the spirit and what we take from Him, our inheritance in the spirit, it will also, I believe, manifest in the flesh. Might not be the Mauritius trip that you win, but it will be a place of contentment, as Imran shared. Why do you spend money on what is not food? and your wages on what does not satisfy. Have anybody, not by the show of hands, I'll put up my hands, have any of you spent money or a lot of money or your wages many a times on that which did not satisfy? Sorry, you didn't have to do that, but thank you very much for the honest broers. How many times does that not happen, I believe, in December and January, that we spend our wages, we spend everything we've worked for, and many a times, beware of the enemy, we spend even that stuff that we didn't work for in the form of credit, we spend all of that just to be satisfied, just to have peace, just to have rest, just to feel a bit better, just to escape. Just to escape, but it does not satisfy. Let's trust God to lead us to spend, if we can, on that which does satisfy. Lastly, a part B of provision is in Matthew 6. The cure of anxiety, and again, don't put up your hands, but I believe there's so many people that's really anxious in this time of the year. Really anxious because there's so much, and I've been attacked with the anxious thoughts, and I need to worship God, and I need to warfare against it. But many people in this time need to fight this battle and get to that place where they do spend on the things that do satisfy. I'm just going to look at Matthew 6 before we close. And we don't have it up there because it's quite long, but let the word just minister to your heart. Don't listen necessarily to me. Let the word of God just minister to your heart, because this has been such a blessing for me. And I'm going to take this. This is one of the weapons that I'm going to take into this season. Matthew 6, verse 25. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? Evidently so, I am not one of them. Because I have worried before and I'm still quite short, for those who didn't catch that one. And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? Won't he do much more for you, Retifi? So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the idolaters, the world, evidently, eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God. Put your heart in the right place, and his righteousness and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So don't worry about the holiday season. Don't worry about December. Don't worry about Christmas. Don't worry about the entire family that is falling onto your lap, that's stampeding into your house. Don't worry about these things, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I've shared on the scripture before, and I'll probably share on it again, many a times again. But this truly is a part of armor. It's a part of the sword that we need to use in this season. Because we might smile at one another and say, ach, nee man, wat praat jy? But it's something I believe we're all challenged on in this season. And let's take up this sword. Let's take up this part of the armor. As soon as you want to get anxious, as soon as you worry about what the neighbor's doing and what these people doing and that people do, but pick up that sword of yours and fight the true battle. And the last element or the last key of holiday that I'm just chatting about, hopefully in a pastoral manner today, is our school bag. Is what are we eating and drinking? Obviously physical, but as you know me, spiritually as well. We like your six pack. What's in your cooler bag? What are you eating and drinking this holiday season? Some of us are tired. We've had a rough year. Some of us think, man, I just need a break. But what is the things that we are eating, both spiritually and physically? We saw that in Matthew 6 just now, but let's move on to Romans 14:17. Let me read it to you. For the kingdom of God is not in not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing that charismatics do is we quote scripture totally out of context sometimes. So that's why there's two asterisks, The context here is with regards to a religious mindset maybe of and out of the Torah, out of the law of eating clean and unclean foods. I'm not today talking about are you guys going to eat lobster or are you going to eat crayfish or are you going to eat prawns. No, that's not what I'm talking about. So just remember, this is about clean and unclean foods. The context of the scripture, we need to remember that. So that's just a bit of a disclaimer. But I do believe there's a bit of the heart in there that's also important. For the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking in mag ek drink, mag ek ie drinkie, moet ek eet ie. Wat het Ritief gesê? Is it skaapbout of is it die skaapbout? That's not the heart. But the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what I hunger for. After a tough year or a tough season, what I've noted over the last 12 or 13 years, that which truly satisfies, that which truly brings the contentment that Mihan shared, for me, test it for yourself, is not in having an awesome wine or having a brilliant steak, which is not bad, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We've had Christmas times where there's so much presents. Well, this is an extended family. So we've got a room full of presents for all the young kids. And you can literally not step over the presents. And please hear my heart. It's not about material stuff. There's so much presents. There's so much food. It is crazy. But people are regtig die dinge sin vir mekaar. They don't really talk. There's not much love. There's not much of God's Spirit going on there. We say ho, 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 and Merry Christmas and everything. There's a lot of money spent. There's a lot of food. Everybody is sweating and everybody is actually quite, not everybody, but many of the people are actually quite mad at one another. No peace, no righteousness, no joy in the Holy Ghost, but a lot of gifts. I'm not talking against gifts. I'm not talking against nice food. Enjoy that. I believe it's biblical to a certain degree. But let's fight for, let's ask for, let's contend for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Can anyone say amen? Awesome. Finishing off John 4. Remember, we are contending. Me and my house, even though we're looking forward to a holiday, we are contending for true rest in Christ. Wherever we go, if we're staying home or we're going away, we need to contend for true rest in Christ. And before I share the scripture, is there just one or two people that can quickly hand out the communion for us, please? Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Edna shared on this last week. "But whoever drinks of the water that I, Jesus Christ, shall give him will never thirst." Over December, people drink a lot. And next year, they'll still be thirsty. They drink a lot. But let's look at scripture. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. There are thirsty people around your Christmas table. There's thirsty people going to come sit in front of your caravan. I don't know if we've got caravaners here, but tongue in cheek, there's thirsty people going to be in your house and next to you and spending time with you. People that's got something in their hand, they've got enough in their glass, but they're actually very thirsty. Have any of you, wat is ou kers aand? It's old New Year's, Christmas Eve. Have anybody ever had the moment where Christmas Eve, people will sit, and again, excuse the, I know not everybody has the same privileges, but they will sit and they'll be eating a massive supper, and guess what they're talking about? They're talking about Christmas lunch and planning for Christmas lunch. And I don't know, so that's just, this, sorry, it's just this something I had to share because I just don't fathom that. But there's people that will sit at your Christmas Eve table, or they'll sit at your Christmas lunch, or if you don't even do that, whatever you do, they'll sit at your table. They might have a plate full of food. They might have 3 plates full of food. But they walk out of there hungry. Let's look at the last scripture before we take communion. Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Okay. Last scripture is actually John 6:35. Jesus again at the word here. I'm the bread of life. Jesus told them, no one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever thirsty again. Jesus says to us, in fact, I believe he's also challenging us. He doesn't say, don't have something nice to eat, don't have something nice to drink. But he's also challenging us of, what are you having in your cool bag this holiday season? What are you daily going to fill? What are you daily going to take out of it? And I believe there's a call on our hearts, and especially for the two of us, and maybe for some of them where you go to family or extended family, what are you taking out of your cool bag for others? And will they stand up from that table still hungry? Will they stand up from that table still thirsty? And I believe that's a challenge for me and maybe the challenge for you guys as well. Let's take these 4 elements, very simple. Last one was the map was there for the destination. But it's 4 simple elements, but there's a massive spiritual truth that we can find biblically in each one of them. One that we just take and we just test what we've been doing for many years or what fellow believers are doing for many years so that these 2 things can be true. That when we eat this holiday, that we won't be hungry again. And when we drink, let's come back not thirsty anymore. Not only us, but also those around us. I'm going to pray for us and we'll take communion. Father God, thank you that we can jokingly yet very honestly look at our culture many a times and the things we do and our traditions. And Lord, I just come and just for me and my house, I just come and lay it, I want to call it our ways, I just come and lay it at your feet again, Lord. Lord, I just come and lay it at your feet, Father God. Lord, you've, out of scripture, you say that you do grant us rest, Lord. It's your heart, it's godly, Lord. But I believe there's a certain way in which we can do it, that we can truly have a holiday by the sea, a holiday by Jesus Christ, a holiday by the truth, the way, and the life. And that's what I contend for, not only for me and my house, but for our congregation, Lord, every member here, Lord. Those who are especially not here, that might be needing a holiday by the sea, we contend that for them in the Spirit as well, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Father God, we just thank you that your word is sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we thank you that that truth will just come and just cut away any lies and bring true revelation, Lord. And keep on reminding us and keep helping us, Father God, to position our hearts towards you in this season, Lord. Yes, for ourselves, for being able to survive the battles, Lord, and to come back rested up, but also for those around our tables, for those with whom we hang out, for those with whom we spend time. Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken, that we can have true rest, true holy days in life and on earth. And we thank you for that. Thank you for your body that was broken for each one of us, each of our families. In Jesus' name, and thank you, Lord, that we can just partake of that again. And remind ourselves in the spiritual realm of the covenant that we have with God. Please protect us. Please protect your children over this holiday season. Let's eat the bread of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for living waters, but also thank you for your blood that established the new covenant. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lord, thank you that we will not be a people that merely acknowledge you with our lips in this time, but that our hearts will also be towards you, Lord, in all we do. Thank you for protection through your blood. Thank you again for the new covenant through your blood. Thank you for life, freedom, and truth through your blood for each and every one of us in this holiday season coming up, in Jesus' name. Let's drink. Lord, thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you, God, that you will determine the provision in this time for each and every one of us, Lord. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, we ask that you determine daily our destinations, both physically and spiritually, Lord. Those who walk by God's Spirit will be called God's sons, and we want to be your sons and daughters in this time, Lord. Thank you, God, that you determine and that you will, through your Son and what your Son has done on the cross for us, that you will give us true rest in this time, in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you that through your Spirit, through your Word, through fellowship, Lord, that you will lead us both to eat and to drink, physically, but especially spiritually, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.